Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Thanks, guys. Hi. Please take a seat. I would say make yourselves comfortable, but actually I don't want you to become comfortable. I'm hoping that this message this morning actually gives you a bit of a poke in the ribs, all right? Agitates you a little bit and kickstarts us or continues to motivate us into action. So yeah, I'm Karen, I'm married to Phil, we've got a gorgeous little boy. And can I just add as an aside, I know Phil was talking about ice cream. His waistline doesn't need ice cream, okay? So if you were thinking of possibly inviting him along for ice cream, don't, it's all right. I came down to Horsham 10 years ago as a student. I came on a gap year. 11
years ago.
11 years ago. After uni, came on a gap year before wanting to do my teacher training, and I'm here 11 years later. And I worked for Kingdom Faith for a couple of years, mostly in admin, worked also in the college and spent a bit of time with the youth. And I kind of got to the point where I said, God, you know, it's been great having the opportunity to encourage people and brilliant having the opportunity to share your word. But I felt like I'd run out of stories and run out of testimonies. And I said, Lord, I don't want to get up with a microphone on a platform, unless it's about prayer, which is something that I live, until you've written a fresh message on my life, until you've given me more stories, until you've given me something that you want to communicate. And so I was asked to come and bring the word this morning. So I figure that God's, you know, he's got something that he wants us to hear today.
Amen.
And, like I said, I want you to be encouraged. So let's pray before we start. Father God, I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. I want to thank you that you are the best encourager, that you always encourage, that you always inspire, that you always motivate, that you are the one who is faith and you impart that faith to us. So I thank you this morning for your word of truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us to take hold of it, that not one of us here would just listen to it and say, oh, that was good, but each one of us would do something with your word as a result, that we might glorify your name.
Amen.
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 So, let's be hot for God. Revelation 3, where John got a whole load of messages for the church. One of those was for the church of Laodicea. And the word for the church there was kind of be hot. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be somebody that God wants to spit out of his mouth, but instead be hot for God, be passionate for God. And I believe that he's stirring the church in this day. He's preparing us to be his bride. He's preparing us to be all that he's called us to be as his chosen ones, as his family, but his bride in this day and in this hour. And the message to Kingdom Faith that we've been hearing over the few years is that we are to be a lifeboat. There is a sea of lostness out there and people are drowning in the world. They might be having a good time while they're drowning, some of them, but they are drowning. Ultimately, when they die, if they don't know Jesus and they haven't confessed him as their Lord and Savior, they'll be going to eternity in hell. Many are out there and they're surviving in life. You know, they're getting by, they're making do, but perhaps they're not happy. Perhaps there's difficulties, perhaps there's strife, but because they don't know the Saviour, they haven't come into that place of peace, that place of right relationship with God, that place of safety and love and care and wholeness in God. And the message to us as the church is, come on, be those people who are those rescuers, those lifeboat people who are bringing these people out of the sea of lostness into the safety of the lifeboat. And he's also spoken to us about households being saved, not just the odd one or two, but whole households being saved, and not just, you know, a couple here and there, but thousands.
Come on.
And when God speaks something, He means what he says. Right. He doesn't just have good ideas, but he's saying, no, this is what I see. This is what I want my church to get hold of so that we can co-labor with him as harvesters in the work in the fields to see this harvest of souls brought in. And over the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity of obviously praying, but also being encouraged by God, seeing people saved. And my friend was supposed to join us this morning. I met with her last Friday and we discussed some of the things that we were going to talk about. I was going to interview her because she was a work colleague that brilliantly gave her life to Jesus. Only the day after we'd had the conversation, her waters broke. She was heavily pregnant. Her waters broke and she went into premature labour. And so she now has a gorgeous little boy called Alexander. And she has been in hospital all week because the little boy was a little bit prem. He's been in incubator and he's been having antibiotics and things like that. But they're both back home now. He's really happy. He's really healthy. But what really blessed me was the fact that she was texting me during the week saying, God said this. He said that, you know, we're fine. He's been my peace. He's been my strength. He's been my grace this week. Yeah. And 2 years ago, that wouldn't have been her testimony.
Right.
You know, she wouldn't have been able to say, God's my rock and he's my strengthener and he's my sustainer and he's the healer of my little boy. And so what she had done is write down some of the answers to the questions. So I'm going to read some of the questions that I would have asked her and the answers that she's actually shared. So please forgive me kind of reading from something, but I know that you're going to be encouraged by what she says. So she said, I'd been working with Karen and Hannah. So Hannah Mannering, are you in the room? Are you in? She's over there. Okay. So I'd worked in a school, a teacher with Hannah. Hannah had been there for a couple of years, then went on maternity, and I kind of took over from her. And so Joe had been working with us for a while, and she'd noticed something different about us, mainly a positive outlook in an environment which can be quite low and negative. And when I chatted with them, they were open about their faith, and I asked them more questions. At this point, I'd also moved to a new village with my husband, so she'd moved from Crawley to Billingshurst, and so was considering going to church to meet people that so that she could kind of get a bit more familiar with the area and make friends and things like that. Okay, so it wasn't the right reason, but it got me through the door. Now, I want to pause there. Two things. We've got lots of people moving to our town. We've got new estates being built. And I'm sure there are going to be people with the same thoughts that my friend Joe had. You know, I'm new to an area. It's a new start. It's something fresh. I might consider church. I might consider faith. And it's for us to capitalize on that and to make sure that we are welcoming people to our town and being that link person with the community to the church. Just sow that as a seed for you to see what the Holy Spirit's saying to you about how you could perhaps work with him in order to reach those new communities. And another thing is that I used to run, not so much anymore because we've got a little one, but I used to run. And when I ran, I would prayer run. When you're kind of running, you were kind of a bit out of puff. So it's kind of just really communing with God and just speaking blessing over my community. God, you know, bring light into these homes. If there's any brokenness or is any strife in homes, just bring your encouragement, bring your life, bring your truth, bring your word. There were several churches in the community in Billingshurst. God, revive them. Give them strength. Give them that outlook so that they're not so internally focused, but they've got that missional mindset. So I'd pray that over the town as I ran. And it's interesting, and God does this at the different places that I've lived. I've done exactly the same. And each time he's given me something to encourage me to say, your prayers are doing something.
Amen.
They are working. I did it in Nottingham when I was a student there. I kind of really got on track with God, and my discipler at the time, a brilliant lady, first book she gave me was Intercessory Prayer by Dutch Sheets. So I read that, and so I said, got involved in the student union. We went to the biggest building in the city, and we just started to pray over the town, praying over the students, praying that God would, you know, set people free, backsliders, anyone that had been involved in anything that they shouldn't be involved, that they'd really come back. My husband is one of those. He was living on the same street that I was living on, but we didn't know each other. And that summer, he got saved and came to Bible college also. So every time, he always encourages. Always encourages. So again, just I encourage you to pray in your street. Every time you get to your street in the car, on foot, this is God's street. You know, speaking over the households, speaking over the families. This is, it's territory taking. Yeah. Okay, it's physical, but there's people that live there. Yeah. And it's let's own our town. Let's own our streets. Let's decide what goes on. And it is powerful and it does work. And God will encourage you. He will give you little things just to keep you, carrots to keep you going. So the question I asked Joe next was, what was it that made you want to make the connection with God and live for and with and for Jesus? And she replied, in the beginning, I was searching for faith. And a lady had come into school and was talking about Sikhism and her Sikhist faith. And Joe admired the fact that she had faith, but also wanted faith herself. And she'd been to Brownie, she'd been to Guides, and she'd gone to church. And I saw it in others, the peace and the joy that they were living in and the way that they could cope with difficulties. And I wanted to experience that for myself. I didn't understand so much at first, but the more I found out about Jesus and the more I found out about the Christian faith, the more I wanted a relationship with him. And I asked her, how have others helped you on your journey? And she was grateful that Hannah would talk to her, that we would take time in the lunch times, what have you. Joe had a lot of questions, so it would be 5 minutes on lunch break. And I just, the Holy Spirit then started to speak to me and said, right, you need to reel this one in. She's hooked. You need to reel her in. And this is where we've really got to be listening to the Holy Spirit, the people that are in our lives. Who is there a hook in that we've really got to reel in? Okay, let's be sensitive to the people in our lives. And so I clocked her and I knew that she, you know, I needed to reel her in. So we went to the pub after work and she just had lots of questions and it gave her the opportunity to really ask what she wanted to know. And again, in talking to her, I was able to then listen to the Holy Spirit, steer the conversation and give her truth.
Yeah.
You know, she was interested, but she needed truth. She needed to realize that she was a sinner and needed to connect with Jesus. And she valued that. So for all of us, it's like, let's give our time. Yeah. Let's invest time in people, yeah. Talking to them, answering their questions. And I invited her to church. I felt it was the right timing, the right thing to do. And she said it was a really scary experience coming to church. She felt like running off. But the fact that someone had, I'd met her at the door, sat with her, explained what was happening throughout the service, spent time having a coffee and introducing her to some people at the end, she said, I needed that. And again, I just speak to all of us to just be so mindful of people coming through the door. It's our family and it's our home. Right. Let's not get so caught up in ourselves and our ongoing friendships, but let's be welcoming. Let's be inclusive. Let's keep connecting with people so that perhaps for their first experience of church is a positive one and they come back another time. As someone who can give an example, this is a question to her. As someone who can give an example of how other Christians in your life were a positive influence in leading you to Christ, what key tips would you give us as witnesses? And she said, the first thing is to live it. Live your faith. I was drawn like a moth to a flame of the Christians in my working environment. I didn't know they were Christians because they shouted it from a megaphone, but they were just different to other people. She saw something consistent between Hannah and I. They were there are non-believers who are nice people, but Christians who are shining with the light of Jesus are something else. And she encourages you, don't be afraid. Be bold, because the faith and the boldness of other people rescued me.
Wow.
She realizes that she's been rescued. She's come from quite a broken home, and she knows now that she's just got that peace, that relationship with God. She's got that faith that enables her to overcome. And she's just so full of joy. She's so full of life. But it's about being bold and about making the most of those opportunities. So I asked her, have you made a good choice giving your life to Jesus? She said, this question made me smile, and of course it was a good decision. Yes, an emphatic yes. Now that she has the peace, relationship with the Holy Spirit, even when things are rocky, I can praise Jesus for what he's done for me. And she's now, she's a worship leader at a church in Billingshurst, and she says that it just really blesses her to be able to lead other people into the presence of God and really see something happen in her community. And like I said, you know, God is preparing us as a bride, but he's preparing us as a company of witnesses. He's preparing us, you, as a company of witnesses, not the person, just the person next to you or the person behind you or me, because I'm standing here. He's preparing us as a company of witnesses. And we have the fivefold, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. And sometimes you can say, oh, it's the job of the evangelist to go and evangelize the world and tell everybody about Jesus. It's the job of the evangelist to prepare the body for the works of service. And we're all called to be witnesses. Witnesses of the goodness of God. Witnesses of everything that Jesus has done. Witnesses of that peace. And he really is in this day just really wanting to activate and motivate us all to be those witnesses. And Jesus said, gave us the Great Commission, didn't he? In Matthew 28, verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So the first point is be a witness. And Matthew 5, let's go to Matthew 5, 13 to 16. I'm going to read from the Truth. You are to be salt for the world. However, if salt is stale, it loses its taste. And what can you do to restore its saltiness? Nothing. It may as well be thrown away and trampled underfoot. You are to give light to the world. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden from sight. Neither do people hide the light from a lamp under a basin. No, they place the lamp on a lampstand where it can give light to the whole house. In the same way, your spiritual light is to be evident to all around you so that they can see the good things you do and then praise your Father in heaven. So they're not just seeing the good things that you do or the light that radiates from you. It's so that they can then praise their Father in heaven that they come to know as a result of the connection that they have with us. And I don't want to be something that's thrown away and trampled underfoot. I want that saltiness to remain in my life. And I know that salt is symbolic of two things. It can be preservative. So that salt is to be something that is that salvation, that preservative that we are to kind of keep that, yep, keep that salvation, you know, that message alive. But also that salt is to be a flavor enhancer. Yep. So it's that positive influence, it's that positive attitude, if you like, or faith that we're supposed to communicate. And many of you, if you ever went to Sunday school, you've probably heard the little tune, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bush, you know, I'm going to let it shine." And I know Pastor Colin doesn't like that song because he said, it's not a little light that we have, it's a huge light. And I've come to realise recently that the whole wattage thing of light bulbs is going to be phased out. It's now about lumens. Everybody else probably already knows that. I'm probably way behind everybody else. So wattage being how much power a light bulb took to burn up to make the light, but lumens being how much light they emit. And so I think 1300 plus is a pretty one of the top light bulbs. So the 1300 plus lumen light bulb in your life, yeah, don't hide it under a bed. Don't hide it under a bush. Let it shine. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a bright light that, like my friend Jo said, she was attracted like a moth to a light. and it radiates further than you realise.
Yeah, that's true.
If you let it. Sometimes, I know there was when I was a teenager, I was quite, you know, embarrassed by my faith and wanted to keep it covered. And it wasn't until I had a real encounter with Jesus that all got stripped away. And I want any of you that are here that kind of feel like that you want to keep your light hidden, don't. Just let it shine, because it is really powerful and effective to drawing people to Jesus who lives in you. So, I don't know if any of you have ever said, oh my gosh, when you're kind of growing up and you see what your parents do or habits that your parents have and you're kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be like my mum when I grow up. I'm so not going to do what my dad does. Oh my God, they're so annoying. My mum, adorable, I love her. And she's a Christian. She became a Christian when I was 6. And she was just... she had an amazing encounter with Jesus and just overflowed. And she would just tell everything, everyone, anything that moved, she'd tell them about Jesus. We'd go to a pub for a meal and she'd just feel, oh, I think the Holy Spirit's saying something about that lady. I'll just go over and I'd be like, oh my gosh, so embarrassing, so embarrassing. She used to give my teachers for the end of term and Christmases and things like that, Christian like biography books.
Come on.
And things like that. And I'm like, oh, why do I have to? At the time, it's so not cool when you're a teenager. Well, back then, it should be cool. But I'm realising that I'm becoming like my mum. As I get older. And she would always have a handbag full of gospel tracts. And I realise I've got handbags full of gospel tracts, numerous handbags full of different gospel tracts. And I just believe the Holy Spirit has just been moving in me to say, create opportunities. Don't go out unprepared.
Yeah.
You know, you might see somebody and you think, oh, mum's struggling, or somebody that the Holy Spirit moves on you in compassion and you need something to connect with that person. And I'm not saying that gospel tracts are the answer, because they're not. It's that human contact. It's the message that we carry, actually, which is the powerful thing. But sometimes you've got to leave a seed in someone's hand that they can, you know, chew on and mull over and perhaps respond to. And a friend of mine from uni that we were kind of did something like a discover thing together when we first joined the church, she said, I got by God, because every time that I would go out, I'd be with a big group of friends and I was always the one that the gospel tract person came to. And she said, I had a handbag just full of these gospel tracts that people had given her, because she was always the one that was targeted. But that was the thing that got her to really think about making a decision for Jesus. So that encouraged me. I think that they do work. And I've also decided, because I know that God's given us our house that we currently live in, anyone that crosses the threshold of my house is not going to go out unchanged.
Amen.
That if we establish a place of prayer and a place where God likes to be, and God likes to do a bit of a Bethel place, if you like, that nobody can go without them hearing about Jesus.
Yeah.
I've got a neighbour who's in the process of moving, and her husband sends her over to chill her out. Because she knows that she can kind of get everything off her chest and she just gets peace when she comes to our house. And so any Tesco delivery man, anyone that comes will go with a gospel tract and with a church life, if I feel, because I feel like I have to do something in order to make that connection. And sometimes it leads into a bit of a conversation. I'm getting better at it. We've got to start somewhere. Take that little step and then you can take more steps, and then a momentum has started. And the first time I did it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is cringy, what am I going to say? But the more I've done it, the more there's something growing on the inside of me that I don't care anymore about what people might think, because what's growing on the inside is becoming bigger. And I realise it's God's excitement for salvation. It's God's excitement for his message of truth, which is growing. And that's what I really want to encourage you with. If some of you are like, oh, I can't, I've never done it before, just do something to offend your current status. And that's your point of breakthrough. And you have to take one step of breakthrough to another step of breakthrough to another, and then you're in that momentum then. And sometimes people say, no, thank you. have it back. I've had quite a lot of responses where it's been quite negative, but in a way that gets me going even more than the knockback. So be a witness. Number two, be a positive witness. I heard a statistic the other day that said that when a questionnaire was put out, how many of you, if you know a Christian, would come to church? And a high percentage said no chance. Even though I know Christians, there's no chance that I would want to go to church because I wouldn't want to become like what they are. Okay? And that's discouraging, but it causes us to ask a question of ourselves: what kind of a witness are we being? We need to be a good witness. Colossians 4 from verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, this is the Apostle Paul, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, and pray that I may proclaim it boldly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. There's that salt again. So that you may know how to answer everybody. Let that become your prayer. Pray that over your life, that boldness, that you might know how to answer everybody, that you might be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. I know that my colleagues watch my life, whether they do it consciously or subconsciously, but I don't react. I don't respond. Something happened at work recently, which was a little bit unfortunate, a little bit discouraging, but I was being watched as how I responded, how I spoke about the leadership within the school. And because it was positive, I know that said something to them. It's the message and it's what they see kind of joined together. So let not there be any hypocrisy there. People are reading the letter of our lives. We must practice what we preach. Number three, be Holy Spirit empowered witness. The cool thing is, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. He said, you know, be fishers of men, preach the gospel, do all this. But he didn't just say, go on, get on with it. Acts 1:18 says, but you shall receive power, the ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Horsham, this is me now, Horsham, Roffey, Crawley, Worthing, in your workplace, with your neighbours, your yet-to-be-saved spouses. You'll be my witnesses to the parents at the toddler group or the school gate, to your hairdresser, to your golf buddies. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be his witnesses in these places. Let's look at John 16 from verse 7. Again, I'm going to just read it from the Amplified. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. So Jesus went back to heaven after he'd rose again, because if I do not go away, then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener and Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me, trust in, rely on and adhere to me. About righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because of the ruler, evil genius, prince of the world, Satan, is judged and condemned, and sentence already is passed upon him. So it's the Holy Spirit. As we yield to him, as we get filled with him, as we are at one with him in that great rest, if you like, in all that Jesus has done, but living with the Holy Spirit, it's he that works through us to convict and convince the world about Jesus. It's his word of power, it's his word of truth spoken through us. And I know that quite often I'll just be available to God, and I know it's the Holy Spirit at work. It's the Holy Spirit kind of resonating truth in people's hearts and in people's lives. and convicting others of sin. Even if I go to I was at a neighbour's house the other day, and all of a sudden she realised, oh, I'm swearing. And she stops swearing. And I haven't said anything. But it's that Holy Spirit that we carry that take it into different realms and different places is tangible, and it has a positive effect. So be a positive witness. Be a Holy Spirit-empowered witness. Rest in God, listening to him, receive boldness from the Holy Spirit. Those people in Acts in the early church, they prayed that God would give them greater boldness. And God is saying to the church in Horsham, as he did in Acts, is keep on speaking. I have many believers in this town.
Amen.
And he has. We've got some great churches in the town, and he's doing the same thing in the believers in this town, almost to create a net that is going to be that catch net to bring the harvest in. But let's stand and be part of that net.
Yeah.
Let's not just leave it to other churches, but let's not leave it to somebody else, but let's all stand together as witnesses, as those who are praying, to become part of that net, to see the harvest come in.
Yeah.
Motive for being a witness. We could have various different motives, and we got to realise that our salvation is not dependent on it. Jesus has died and risen again, and we have recognised, if you believe that he's our Lord and Saviour, that we're saved, and we're continuing to work out our salvation. But by seeing other people saved is not part of our ticket to getting into heaven. You know, Jesus has saved us, and that's great, but we just want others to come into that fullness also. But our motivation should not be that our salvation is dependent on it, unlike some religions. It should not be pride. You know, I'm loving the fact that I'm seeing several of my old school friends and university housemates and work colleagues get saved. And I want to tell other people about it to encourage them to also want to see the same. But I remain humble before God, because it's a work of his grace and it's a work of his Spirit. And it's not that I can say, yeah, I've seen 10 saved. I've seen, you know, it's all glory to God.
Amen.
And the joy of our salvation should overflow. This should be our motivation, that it would overflow so much because we've been rescued, because we've been set free, because we live with the overcomer within us. That should be our motivation, to want to see people saved, to come into that same relationship with Jesus. Psalm 51, verse 12 to 13 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Some of us have been saved a long time and perhaps have forgotten the brilliant awesomeness that it is, if that's even a word, to be saved, to be in relationship with Jesus. "And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you." And I believe God is just reviving in us that joy of our salvation that will overflow from us, and all of us will become those who teach transgressors his ways, so they will turn back to him. And point kind of number five is to pray for the harvest. You know, God has spoken, God has promised. He said that there's this rich harvest to come in. And I kind of got a word a couple of years ago and had a picture of this huge rain cloud. And I've said it before, I think, at one of the Impact prayer nights, but there's this, you know, when it's kind of going to really rain, especially that summer rain, that fat rain, and you can smell it before you can see it. And the clouds are starting to get heavy, and it's in the atmosphere. All the birds are doing something freaky. Nature starts to respond because of what's going on. And then you have that one big fat drop. And I scurry outside and try and get my laundry in. And then another big fat drop. And it's like we've seen one person saved, one person healed, one household perhaps saved, one breakthrough there. And Elijah, in 1 Kings 18, he knew that this rain was to come because the earth had been in drought, the land had been in drought, and he had to get down on his knees and intercede and pray. Seven times his servant went to say, you know, what can you see? What can you see? Then he said, I can see a cloud the size of my fist coming. And it's like that's coming. And that was several years ago. I'm like, right, God, have I got the timing wrong? You know, I was expecting this move to be much quicker, and it's been over 2 years. And I just felt God said, well, okay, my, you know, his timing is sovereign, but also it's like we can usher it in by connecting with God. God is sovereign and he can move and he can bring this move of God where the harvest is going to come, but he requires us to co-labor with him, to pull it in, to pray it in, but also to earth it. You know, we can pray as much as we want, but if we're not ready to actually kind of become the answer to our prayers and waiting for somebody else to do it, then we're going to be waiting a long time, right? So it's twofold. It's keep praying, right? And some, I love praying. I do it quite a lot, but it's just your kingdom come, your will be done. God move in that person's life. Bring freedom there. It's not hard. It's just kind of that intercession, just kind of make it easy for yourself. I want you to be liberated and freed up to be intercessors like that. It's just, come on, God, come and do your thing. Do it in me, do it in the town. Easy. So yeah, let's keep pressing in to see the harvest. John 4 talks about sowers and reapers, and I know that we've been seeing people kind of added to the church recently who might have been witnessed to 10 years ago by a neighbour. And prayed for by a neighbour 10 years ago. And then we're seeing them added to the church now. And somebody else has been that connection point. And I believe that God is going to reward those of you who have been sowing over time. Sowing in prayer, sowing in your witness. And I want to activate anybody who's not yet been there and done that, but also to encourage anybody that has been sowing faithfully over the years. Anyone who's really waiting on God for that harvest and to see souls saved, it's like, thank you. I just believe God wants to honour you and thank you for that. And expect to see breakthrough of seeds that you've sown come in and the harvest come in. So, let's stand. I hope you didn't get too comfortable there and that you have been encouraged, but I just feel it's right for us to respond. We need to make a response from this. So just close your eyes, lift your hands to God, and just open your heart to him right now. Lord, I thank you that you truly are the best encourager. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. And I want to just say to any of you right here who perhaps have come here for the first time or you don't know Jesus, that he's good. And knowing him and being in a relationship with him is the best thing ever. If you're in the valley of decision today, I would encourage you to choose him. Make a choice for him. Take that initial first step for him and just say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know your goodness. I want to be rescued. And if that is you and that's the response that you want to make in your heart today, we want to meet with you at the end of the service. I really encourage you to be bold and to come out and to take that step of faith to meet with Jesus for the first time today. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. If any of you here really want to be a good witness for him, just reach your hand to him and just say, God, I want to be a good witness for you. Count me in being a witness for you. Just fill us, Lord Jesus, with your light. Fill us with your light afresh. Lord God, if there's any stones in your lives that you know, or anything that is kind of muckying up that light in your life and impeding it radiating, there's something that you're watching, if there's something, perhaps a habit of speech that you have, if there's an attitude that you have that the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on that is causing your light to be impeded, just repent of that right now. Just say, God, I'm sorry that I've got this attitude, sorry that I've had, you know, negativity in the way that I speak, and I've been a bit of a bad witness in my workplace or in my home. Receive his forgiveness now as you just confess that before him and thank him that he's going to make you that 13 plus lumen light bulb. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're a person that comes to be with us. Jesus, I thank you that it was better that you had to go to heaven so that your Spirit could be poured out. You gave us the Great Commission, but you didn't just leave us to get on with it as orphans. You gave us the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that was there at the beginning of time, that Spirit that is greater than he that is in the world, that Spirit of life, that Spirit of truth lives within us. And we just take hold of afresh, drink deeply, guys, right now of that Spirit, that empowering from heaven. And if any of you know that you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you really want to be effective for him, again, I want to talk to you at the end. We want to see you filled with his life, that you may be empowered and strengthened to really bring glory to God in your world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I believe that as one of the words that we've been receiving of Kingdom Faith is that we're to be wellsprings of life, that those wellsprings of salvation would just overflow from us, that they're going to spring forth and go into parched desert wastelands. But some of us have got stones in our wells that need to be removed. And as I'm saying these things, if you know that there's a specific stone that needs to be removed, you just agree with that and take it out right now. And so I just say, any stone of fear right now that is holding any of us back from being bold with the gospel of truth, we just remove that out of our lives right now. Any stone of self-preservation, what might people think? What might people think of me if I, and I think this is specifically for men right now in the workplace, if that is a stone that you know that you need to get rid of, just say, like, get out, be moved. That stone of self-preservation. Intimidation right now. If there's anything like intimidation that is holding you back, or you've never done this before, you've never spoken about Jesus, or you've never shared your faith with anybody, just say intimidation. You bow the knee and you get lost right now. I'm going to be free to share my faith, that I might see a harvest for my life. And the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is he is life. You know, he is not, forgive my crudeness, he's not impotent and he's not barren. But when you've received that seed of God, which is the Holy Spirit in us, that is the life-giving Spirit of God. And therefore, he has made you fruitful. And I declare fruitfulness over every single one of you. That barrenness or that spiritual impotence is broken in Jesus' name. And instead, you are released and activated into fruitfulness for God. That there'll be a reproductive element in your testimony and in your gospel of truth that is spoken forth and shared through your lives. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the harvest. We thank you for what you're doing in Horsham. We thank you for what you're doing in the church in this area, Lord God. And we thank you that you're on the move. We thank you for those seeds sown. We thank you for these new places. And we thank you, Lord God. And we rejoice with you in seeing these souls saved for you, that you might be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Let's just give him a cheer of thanks and praise. Lord God, we thank you. 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 Now, when you leave today, you're going to go and you're going to, it's Monday tomorrow, expect that God is going to do something, right? But don't just sit around waiting for something to happen. Create an opportunity. Next Sunday, when you see each other, say, what happened then this week? Who did you share a testimony with? Who did you talk to? What did you do to pioneer something in your own life that was a point of breakthrough next week? So hopefully next week there'll be lots of chat, lots of things to share and talk about, and loads of orange cards. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.